Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. My name is Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security. We have a very, very interesting episode today. We are assessing risk through Active Directory and what we can do about it. Now, I have friends from Spectre Ops, Justin Kohler and Jonathan Parfait. Justin, can you give a quick intro to yourself and your role at the organization?
Yeah, my name's Justin Kohler. I joined Spectre Ops in 2020 to lead the product side. So Spectre Ops has historically been known as a adversary simulation and training professional services organization. I joined to help build the Bloodhound Enterprise, and I also maintain the Bloodhound open source product.
Wonderful, wonderful. Over to you, Jonathan.
Yep, I'm Jonathan Parfait. I've been with Spectre Ops for about a year now. My primary role is technical account manager, so I work with our Bloodhound Enterprise customers from the beginning, from the actual onboarding phase throughout their relationship with Bloodhound as customers, all the way on to kind of strategizing their remediation plans for findings in Bloodhound Enterprise.
Wonderful, wonderful. And as an active user of Bloodhound, what a tool. But let's do the introduction. So my first question will be, we'll set the foundation, as it were. So what is Bloodhound, and how does it assist organizations basically in assessing their risks within Active Directory environments? I'll give that one over to you, Justin.
Yeah, so Bloodhound was released by Will Schroeder, Andy Robbins, and Rohan Berserker, all employees of Spectre Ops, back in 2016. And it was used actually to help them as pen testers. So, you know, they break into an organization, they take advantage of permissions in Active Directory, and instead of tracking that in Excel, like all good security products start, they figured, like, well, there's this thing called a graph database. Why don't we just throw it in there? And if your listeners are familiar or aren't familiar with graph databases, the most common and well-known example is Google Maps, right? So Google Maps is just a graph database on the back end, and basically allows you to plot directions from point A to point B. So Bloodhound was literally just that. It was, I have this initial access into this company and I want to get to my objective. How would I get to that? And it just plotted it all out for you. And it became not a matter of if I'm going to accomplish my objective, but just when. How long is it going to take me? Revolutionized that, like, offensive simulation services. And then we quickly found out that we could do a whole lot for the defender. So a lot of folks across the security spectrum use Bloodhound to audit permissions and just make sure that, you know, those configurations that have been put in place for about 20 years aren't biting them where they don't expect it.
And it's amazing. I'll just a frame of reference, as it were, to find through the graph database, the visualization, I think, it tells its own story.
Oh, yeah.
Right? In a lot of cases, it provides you a contextual element to say, Excel would never have, we would never have picked these interconnections up in Excel. I mean, Excel is the, you know, the default for every security analyst, but I think, Justin, it reveals so much information, like the picture is 1,000 words.
Oh, yeah.
Let's call this 10,000 words, right?
Yes, yeah. I think there's a reason why Bloodhound was then just kind of ubiquitous in pen testing reports, right? Whether you got a test through Spectre Ops or through some other provider. Bloodhound was so good at visualizing the problem, right? Instead of a narrative that you would read and, like, here's how the tester reached their objective, you just visually describe it. It's so easy to, I shouldn't say it's so easy. It is much easier to, you know, look at the picture and just understand how this permission cascaded into this issue and allowed me to go from, you know, point A to point B versus, you know, trying to track it in your mind as you read through it. So yeah, Can't agree more. Picture's worth a thousand words.
Exactly right. So Jonathan, now, so being with the SpectroOps for a year, as you're assessing organizations and really this emphasis on enterprise security risk, why focus and why have those organizations look at Active Directory, basically show them this visualization and say, you know, these have existed, as it were, for any amount of time. Like, you know, we'll go with the reference of 20 years, you know, these elements were put in play. How do you use that to your benefit, one, in terms of both awareness, but then also attributing these elements to defender capability for continuous assessment?
Yeah, so a lot of that comes down to, like, from a attack perspective, right? A lot of your attack for Active Directory and even a little bit higher up than that, like identity as a whole, right? That's where a lot of it starts, is relate to, you know, users that are overprivileged, applications are overprivileged. And then from a, like a defensive perspective, you know, it comes down to actually peeling back a lot of those layers of technical debt that organizations will inherit over time. That's one of the biggest things we do, is really just unwind some of that chaos that just occurs naturally in Active Directory. And even going back to kind of the example of, like, the graph being so powerful, or the visual representation being so powerful, being able to actually map from point A to point B and seeing that visually, you know, definitely helps in storytelling, but also from a defensive mindset or from a remediation mindset, right? We can start looking at where in this attack path could we potentially remove permissions for a user that potentially is overprivileged.
So you asked the question, like, why focus on Active Directory? And I think people might think that we like to pick on Active Directory, right? Active Directory has so many problems. And sure, there's things that Active Directory could do better, and they put a lot of those learning lessons into Azure. But it's really not a knock against Active Directory. Active Directory is just the identity backbone for most organizations. So, you know, if I can control Active Directory, I control the environment. So that's why we focus there, and why it's so foundational, and, like, why you should be thinking about these the paths in your directory.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in a lot of cases, it's because Active Directory is at the top. Right. I mean, used practically everywhere, yes, especially within organizations that would be looking at Bloodhound as an essence of a solution to those problems. And as you mentioned, you know, one of the things I love the point, Jonathan, with technical debt, because that ultimately, if I were representatively as a utilizer of Bloodhound, is when I look at that technical debt, this is now my payback period, right? I'm paying off that technical debt, because it's so easy in Active Directory to build that debt. And that, again, not a knock on Active Directory, but from an administrative perspective, that builds up over time, right? You go from a simple deployment till, you know, multiple forests, and then ultimately you've got GPO everywhere, and who has access to what? Yes. you know, that there is, and then you get to this tool. And honestly, when I first saw the tool, and I think it was at RSA, saw the demonstration, I'm like, how has no one ever thought, and again, you mentioned 2016, I didn't realize it was that long, but how long has it taken us to get a visual representation to actually understand what Active Directory is doing? I mean, just, it was kind of a perfect mix of technology, right? That security assessment and then the visualization now allows us to understand the scope. Justin, what are your thoughts there in terms of how that was identified?
Yeah, I think, so again, it's not necessarily a knock on Active Directory. Active Directory is so complex. And I mean, it's the same story in AWS IAM. It's the same story in GCP. It's the same story in Azure. You know, if you think about, if I had five people at my company, and I'm going to give this person access to this thing and this person access to this thing, I might be able to hold that in my head, or read through the menus to really understand who has permissions where. But when you get up to 100, and I mean, if you're at 1,000, like, forget it. Like, there's no chance that you're going to track this. And again, that's the power of the system, the complexity. It's not a knock on those. It's just very easy to do things with unintended consequences. And a lot of these are hooking, you mentioned GPO, right? It's like it's almost a separate sub-segment of Active Directory where that can completely change the picture. And then you have the local permissions on the workstations and the servers in the company that also, again, kind of totally change that picture. And just trying to, you know, some admin, you know, just trying to do their job and get things deployed correctly and keep the lights on. Expecting them to track all this is just impossible. I mean, we can't do it. I mean, that's why right. We built the tool, right?
Like, exactly.
I think like even in our smallest environments, we're looking at least probably a million relationships. Is that right, Justin?
Yeah. Like it cascades like crazy. Andy Robbins, you know, he's a principal product architect here at Spectre Ops, but also, you know, co-creator of Bloodhound. He did this kind of map where he showed, you know, if you just had one node connected to one node, that's, you know, but it goes bidirectionally. That's two different paths. If you have three nodes connected, that's actually six different paths. And then it just explodes. Like the amount of relationships quickly gets into the millions when you start talking about, you know, just to hundreds of users in an organization. So yeah, many unintended consequences.
Absolutely. So Jonathan, when you're working with organizations and that, you know, they're setting up a capability, what do you see in terms of most common vulnerability misconfigurations that Bloodhound helps identify?
There's a lot, right? It depends on the organization. We have, if you can imagine, you know, varying sizes of organization. We've seen things just by the sheer nature of AD structure, right? Having a large default group like domain users, having privilege over, you know, a system like a domain controller. You know, since we've added ADCS earlier this year, you know, we're seeing a lot of misconfigurations when it comes to ADCS, like ADCS escalation one is very common in the sense of, you know, seeing it in organizations, but also like the remediation capability or the ability for us to actually help customers understand where to actually focus their remediation efforts when it comes to kind of that entire sphere when it comes to ADCS is pretty powerful. We're seeing a lot of customers that are benefiting from it.
Yeah, I think like lately the most common ADCS is if you've deployed, so Active Directory Certificate Services is Microsoft's implementation of PKI, and I think everybody who stands it up, once they do it, they try to immediately forget about it because it's so complex. Again, kind of a subcomponent of like, I did it once, don't ask me how I did it. But in the default setup of that, it actually creates an issue. And that research came out of our team 3 years ago now. And when we got it into Bloodhound, we were curious, you know, how widespread that issue was. When we did early testing, you know, when they were releasing their research, we found it in 90% of environments. We expected that over the last 3 years, a lot of those organizations had remediated that. But turns out there was a whole lot left. I would say there's probably, if you have ADCS deployed, Jonathan, I'm curious what you think about this. There's probably a good 50, 75% chance you have a pretty critical vulnerability within ADCS today.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And it's a nasty attack path. Like the ADCS stuff, it's not a hard path to execute, and it immediately gives you full control of the environment. So it is hugely impactful. And we show that, you know, in the open source product and in the enterprise product, and folks should be, you know, if they're running PKI and in ADCS internally, like strongly recommend you check those.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, one of the things that that assesses from this type of approach and building in a capability that Bloodhound provides, both, like you mentioned, open source and enterprise. What I think it does for an organization is, one, it gets to contextualize those risks, right? Because you've got attack patterns that, you know, we could grab from MITRE ATT&CK and literally flow through an organization that are literally vulnerable today. And it also, with the structure of the tool, gives those not only prioritization to certain categories, but then it also gives you an ability to continuously assess, because there, again, with the layers of complexity, and again, please, you know, correct me where you're wrong, but like a single checkbox can completely change the dynamics within the environment. And this is the continuous assessment requirement that Bloodhound provides, because it's that one check that could become, you know, in this million line Excel file that no one's ever going to find. Or it becomes kind of this blinking light, as it were, within the graph representation that gives you that, I'll say, the fighting chance. And again, my perspective, Bloodhound gives you better than a fighting chance. It gives you an opportunity to win. But anyway, my thoughts.
The remediation and the prioritization, that kind of continuous monitoring, just for your listeners, that's part of our enterprise product, but you can use the open source product and see your environment today. But the needing to find that random checkbox continuously is extremely important. I mean, we there's countless times where we deploy into an organization and they have some account that was created 20, 15, whatever years ago. Like, I remember seeing a fax account that had full control over the domain head object, which, again, for your listeners, that means like this random fax machine can do whatever it wants within the organization. When they found that, it was an immediate like, oh my gosh. And they fixed it in hours. Like, they immediately ripped it out, right? And but that was a huge, like, that is a single checkbox that completely undermines every bit of security that was in that organization. And, you know, once they found it, it was so easy for them to like prioritize and fix it. So yes, it's important.
Absolutely important, because it's because one of the ways I look at this, and again, I'm being a little abstract, but just for entertainment purposes, it's, you know, we always have that kind of this human error element that is, no matter what security controls I put in, the wrong click on the wrong link is a compromise, right? Yep. But I kind of feel that the layers of complexity, and again, this is not against Active Directory, Windows, Microsoft, anything in that frame of reference, right? Because they've had to build these types of capabilities to match many different deployment strategies from an organizational perspective, right? We're trying to give you functionality so that it works in your representative conditions. However, that layer upon layer of years of this functionality addition creates these unintended consequences of, I won't say mismatch, but it can provide opportunity for, and you mentioned it before, it's kind of this deployment memory loss is, yeah. Did I really configure it that way when I set it up? And you're like under this time pressure of this, get this done in a day, get us operational, or we'll find someone else that can. I'll get it done. And then it's when you come back for that assessment of, let's look at configuration, you know, even applying a benchmark from CIS to assess those controls becomes kind of a roll of the dice in a lot of cases. Have you've experienced the same issues and same thoughts?
I'm curious with Jonathan, but like Jonathan probably experiences this more now, but like we have customers. So the you're absolutely accurate in that like a single configuration by itself. You know, I gave you the example of a fax machine owning the domain head. That's a horrific like single configuration, right? But a combination of multiple configurations can create a similar horrific outcome. But in isolation, each one of them seems benign, right? And they are, you know, but like if you string them all together, they're really bad. And that's what creates the attack path. And I'm sure Jonathan hears this all the time, where it's like, well, I'm the fourth administrator for this company, right? Because, you know, we've existed for a long time and this has been here. So I have no idea why that permission, I didn't even know that existed, you know? But I'm curious what Jonathan says.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like we're in a lot of the organizations that we're in, right? We're on probably fourth, fifth generation of AD admin, not even considering the fact that they've had to inherit maybe domains that from acquisition or merger. And in those situations, right, you really are tasked with, hey, let's keep things operational. Let's get everything integrated. We'll be concerned with security, but as much as possible, you need to keep the business going forward, especially in those types of situations. And then also like being able to actually assess that, right? So it's one thing to have a pen test or an AD assessment against your production environment. What about this legacy domain that you thought didn't exist anymore? And it's still up. It only comes up, you know, maybe once a week or, you know, once every couple months, you know, for people to do patching. But hey, it's still there. It's still an attack path. And if you have an attacker deeply embedded in your org, you know, they can learn that and they can use that opportunity to actually compromise your domain.
Definitely, definitely. Before we continue, let's take a short break with a word from our sponsors.
Are you struggling to meet the standard of reasonableness in your cybersecurity efforts?
CIS Secure Suite comes with integrated cybersecurity tools and resources you can use to build a reasonable cyber defense program.
This will help you comply with U.S. state data privacy laws, and it will empower you to demonstrate you've implemented the necessary security measures to avoid liability in the event of a data breach.
Now through November 1st, save up to 20% on a new CIS Secure Suite membership using promo code RCD24.
Make your cyber defense reasonable.
Achieve it with CIS Secure Suite.
Visit www.cisecurity.org/CIS-SecureSuite to learn more.
Thank you, and let's jump back into the episode. One thing I didn't even think of, and you just mentioned it, Jonathan, was merger. I mean, if I've been through a couple, if I'd have had kind of the Bloodhound output of that to then use to, you know, do the combination play, as it were. I mean, in some cases, we've gone through complete rebuilds to match kind of instances and configurations of systems. But having that type of telemetry would have been, well, I had to save myself tens of hundreds of hours. But anyway, we are where we are right now. So, Jonathan, I'm interested in how you work with organizations. One, as they instantiate a capability through Bloodhound, representatively as an enterprise user, how do you recommend that they utilize the tool, one, for this element that I mentioned of continuous monitoring, but how do you integrate that tool into their business process so that it's part of a regular cycle of check? One, to identify Active Directory risks that, you know, as you add new functionality and capability, that gives way more observability, like you mentioned with ADCS. But how do you then recommend that they utilize the tool as this element of not only figuring out the risk, but when configuration changes have been made, and as was mentioned before, you know, now we've got these chain type capabilities. So I just make a single change and it brings up all of these different attack vectors. How do you recommend organizations approach Bloodhound as a component of their defensive strategy?
Yeah, so for Bloodhound Enterprise, every customer gets access to a TAM. So we meet with our customers regularly, most of the time monthly. And part of that is, especially from the early onboarding phase, which is like getting the tool deployed, you know, and getting the customer that visibility, assisting them with identifying which findings they should remediate first. But then also, you know, it becomes a bit of a goal of alignment, right? What business process do you have in your org today that allows for you to, hey, raise your hand and say, hey, we have this thing that we need to fix. And if there isn't something out there already, like a, you know, whether it's a vulnerability management program or a patch program, you know, then we can kind of help guide, you know, and, you know, where to actually kind of identify who will actually do the work, you know, in order to actually remediate some of these findings. And then it's very natural in like the customer journey to say, like, you know, we've kind of remediated a lot of these very severe findings or critical attack paths, but we just saw one repopulate, right? Or we see our numbers go up and down. Well, at that point, then it becomes a matter of like, what caused that change? You know, is there a process that needs to be updated? You know, one of the most common things we see is ownership of an object. Well, that occurs whenever a new object's created in Active Directory. So that's a repetitive cleanup that might need to occur, and you might just need to either update your build process when you're building a new server or creating a new user to actually, you know, remove those permissions and update them, especially if it's you know, an asset that's you will be considering tier zero in your org. Or do you just run a monthly script to actually do some of that cleanup and keep your organization a good secure state?
I think what we when we were coming up when we were coming up with Bloodhound Enterprise, we knew there was a problem, right? Like attack paths, we were taking advantage of them all the time. We were doing service engagements and trying to help people like shut this down. But when we were coming up with like the enterprise version of the product, this was a different concept. You know, people were familiar with patching and vulnerability management for individual configurations on like hosts, but nobody was thinking about like, people would patch Active Directory, right? Are you running outdated versions of SMB or NTLM or yada, 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 right? But nobody was thinking about the configurations within Active Directory that allowed people to do what we did. So we tried to come up with this concept called attack path management. And it's interesting because you're seeing kind of a lot of the industry, especially within the last year, really focus on identity. And Gartner put out this thing last year called the continuous threat exposure management. But basically expand your understanding of vulnerability management beyond hosts and servers and start thinking about it in terms of identities and privileges as well. Because that's how us as adversaries would take over an environment. And that's how most people, when you read about a breach in the news, that's how they're taking advantage of it. So we try to kind of come into the organization and explain what attack path management is. And while it is a quote unquote new concept, it's really not all that different from what you're doing in vulnerability management in terms of like identifying the risks, measuring, prioritizing them and then fixing and, you know, again, continuous validation. So it's a new concept, but it has very, very familiar feels.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think that's why it fits so nicely into those that have established, like you say, vulnerability management, even red teaming elements.
Yes.
I absolutely love this for identifying those attack paths. So the one comment that I also wanted to provide that is a byproduct of this is the learning, is that particular configuration and how that set has these consequences. And, you know, you could talk to a very established AD administrator that said, no idea that that is what called that what has done this, right? That's the root cause of this, or that's an enabler of these types of attack paths. And it's such a way of, it's kind of building transparency through the interconnections of a system, as you know, has been built up over time and adds elements of that. So I just, again, just another byproduct is that type of awareness, which I think is phenomenal, really.
Yeah, I've had Active Directory admins tell me they learned more about their organization in weeks than they did in years, right? Because they could just see how permissions were applying. Like group policy is really complex. If you can just see how it applies visually through your OU structure and what it's doing, like it's much easier to approach and understand versus kind of the management console that they have to use on a daily basis. I think another like problem that had happened historically is Bloodhound always been a security tool, and Active Directory, like the Active Directory admins, were kind of at a disadvantage in terms of information. You know, where how are you saying that this is an attack path? Like, I don't understand. You know, get more detailed. And then also on the security side, the administrators are like, well, I can't remove that privilege because that's literally how our organization is functioning today. So like, you have to give me flexibility. So there's a whole bunch of learning that we had to do for the enterprise side. But what we found is like when we deploy, the security and the IT team or AD or identity teams work a whole lot more together than they ever had previously because they're speaking from the same sheet of music. And it, like, you can say whatever you want, or we can claim whatever we want, but I can see how the permissions cascade here and I can measure the actual impact of that. So it becomes a much more productive conversation than, hey, there's this issue in AD, can you fix it?
Yes, absolutely. Talk about a communication vehicle.
Yeah.
Just to show that, is it worth its weight in gold? Because in a lot of cases, there is the... how do I put it? There isn't a defensive element from the individuals going through the administrative side. And then you can show and demonstrate, opens up more lines of communication. This is something representative. And even itself becomes less, obviously has massive capability in red and blue teaming, but it does become part of the tool set of the administrators, right? It is so assistive in that space that it just adds so much value. So Justin, one of the last questions that I have, and we've talked about elements of complexity and functionality and the utility in the space, but when for Bloodhound, as you see Active Directory environments evolving, especially now with the rise of both hybrid and cloud environments, what are you doing in the space from the product side?
Yeah, so it's a good question. Maybe a very, very long-winded answer, but SpectreOps, I mean, at our core is about demystifying adversary tradecraft. And so we've done a whole lot of work over the years in Active Directory because that, again, is how we accomplished our objective. Lately, you know, then we moved into Azure. We started researching into Azure in earnest, I'd say about in 2018. You know, we were experimenting with it prior to that, but we really started releasing research in Azure around 2018. We didn't actually release it in Bloodhound until 2022. We have just now released Hybrid Paths, which gives you the visualization not only within your Azure tenant, but how you go from an on-prem domain to your Azure tenant and back down. And I think, I mean, we've been very interested in that for the last couple of years. We finally released it just under a month ago, and we have found pretty impactful things right away. Things that we were hoping to see. I mean, we were hoping that like this would... hope is a strong word. Maybe I should say, like, we were expecting to see, we would hope that these configurations wouldn't be in there, but they were. And the reason why I say we were hoping to see them is because, like, it's clearly a problem. Like, give you an example. Global administrator role, right? That's God mode in Azure. Global administrators should not have they should be cloud only accounts. They should not be synced to on-prem users, because if you can take advantage of the on-prem, like if I can control the on-prem user, I can likely pivot up to Azure and basically become God mode in Azure. Well, that's very prevalent. I will say, like, we've already seen it in multiple customer environments where global admin accounts are synced, which gives you basically the worst of both worlds. You have all of the legacy debt of on-prem. You have all of the cloud, like I can log in from anywhere in Azure. And so like it's these hybrid environments, again, are very, very, or the hybrid path visibility is extremely valuable. And we're just excited to do more. We're starting with user syncing between those two components, but then adding more. We know that there's multiple ways you can cross the kind of the hybrid plane. You asked a kind of a broader question that I want to get back to. It's like, that's Active Directory in Azure, but what else? We're already researching that kind of what else now too. This year at Black Hat, one of our team members, Daniel, released a tool called 8-Man for attack paths in AWS. We're doing other research, like Jared Atkinson put out a brief on the Snowflake incident using graphs to explain what happened. We're going there, and it's really driven by where our customers are driving us as well. So like what components are of interest to them? What's getting attacked? What can we recreate? What do we think that we can visualize and do better than others? I'd say if there's an area for identities to take advantage of and we can graph them out, it's of interest to us, but we will want to do that in a very sustainable and thorough way. And so like, we're not going to go blast out all the things all at once. We're going to want to do it very well.
Wonderful. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Justin, Jonathan, absolutely fantastic. The organization SpectreOps, the tool Bloodhound, and all the research and work that you're doing is hugely contributive to the community to protect and continuously manage and monitor. So thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing. Looking forward to seeing what you're going to do in the future. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you
really
for having
appreciate
us.
It.
Sure. Absolutely. Our pleasure.
Thank you. And to our audience, thank you. Remember to subscribe in all the usual ways. Questions, comments, concerns, podcast@cisecurity.org. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.